Nourish your inner power with alcohol-free organic sparkling teas and botanicals made with ethically sourced, regeneratively grown ingredients. That's right, drinksarilla.com. That's drink SARILLA.com. And you can check out their variety of flavors from sparkling organic green hibiscus tea to sparkling organic white ginger tea. They have sparkling organic apple black tea, sparkling organic lemon black tea, Tulsi lime sparkling botanical, and rooibos vanilla sparkling botanical as well. That's six different flavors to serve. Or you can check them out online and get the Cirilla Starter Pack sampler gift. DrinkCirilla.com. Try it today.
Welcome to the Bullish Picks Podcast. All information herein is for information purposes only. Nothing heard on this podcast is considered financial advice. Bullish Picks cannot and does not assess, verify, or guarantee the adequacy, accuracy, or completeness of any information heard on this show. The hearer bears responsibility for her or his own investment research and decisions. Great day, family. You are tapped into the Bullish Picks Podcast with your main man, 100 Grand, Ken Blanks Harrell, right here. Streaming on your favorite podcast and platform, where we give you everything you need from Main Street to Wall Street so that you can navigate these choppy waters. You got stock market questions, I've got stock market answers. Tap in, catch me on IG at Ask Blank. All right, we are here. We are back with more of the Bullish Picks Podcast with your main man, 100 Grand, Ken Blanks Harrell. And we have been getting it in with Miss Lala. That's right, Levels with Lala. She is a strat trading expert who has been giving us plenty of insight on how to navigate these choppy waters of Wall Street. We've touched on a variety of topics, including some of the sectors and industries to watch for the rest of this year. She's given us some specific tickers to look at, some ETFs. We talked about China. We talked about artificial intelligence stocks as well. I even brought up some of my marijuana stock mishaps from times past, and we're just keeping the conversation rolling here. So tell a friend, tweet a friend, text a friend, have them tap in so they can get more of this good stuff right here on the Bullish Picks Podcast. Now, Lala, I want to pivot just for a moment, considering that QQQ up 19.5% year to date. So I know they were hit the hardest last year from the indices, took the biggest losses of all the major indices. But this year has been the biggest rally, 19.5% to the good. SPY is actually down 6%, roughly 6% year to date. Dow Jones Industrial Average is, you know, just a little up. It's 2.25% up year over year. And then IWM, or the Russell 2000 index, is pretty much flat, but it's up 1.25% year to date. Considering that we just completed Q1 and going into Q2 of 2023, what is your outlook on what's next for the market as a whole? Like, how do you think the rest of this year is going to shake out? Do you think it's going to be more surfing, choppy waters, or is there going to be a clear winner? Are the bulls going to ultimately wind up in control? Are the bears going to ultimately wind up in control? Because last year, 2022, was the year of the bear, for sure. The bears won last year.
Agreed. The bears were definitely completely in control last year. And so based on the strat, what I think is that we're not going to have any clear direction this year. And that, for me, is based on it being an inside year. Because if you think about it, for 3 years, the bulls had control. And then for 1 year, the bears had control. So the way the market moves is that sometimes it has to digest strong moves. And I think that this is going to be a digestion year, because it really hasn't had a chance to just digest. So what that means is that we're going to see a lot of range-based trading, where you're going to see for moments, the bulls will be in control and then the bears will take back control. I think that the Bulls have been in control since October for the most part of last year. So overall, macro, I still think that we're in a bullish trend. We're in a bullish uptrend, but we are still at that point where it can change at any notice. At a moment's notice, it could really change. Now, economic conditions can really be what send us there, but for now, I am saying that we are in a bullish uptrend. I think that for really, I wouldn't consider us being back bearish until SPY can really hold under 380. And it really hasn't done that in probably since October, I think it was when we hit 380. I'm looking right now. Sorry, no, that was December. But so
right,
no,
right
actually,
now it's like 413. It's probably open at 413 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So we have it would be a long way down for us to go there. But that's not to say that, you know, quarter three couldn't be what takes us there. So, you know, we could have two nicely bullish quarters. And even though they're bullish, you do understand or see that it's been a staircase up. It's like, it's not a straight up, like what we were seeing in a normal bull market. It's been, we go up and then we may go sideways. And then
no, this is, it's definitely been some stagger. Yeah, I'm looking at the charts with you. It's not a clear, like, okay, it's just not the SPY, at least. I'm looking at the SPY specifically.
Right.
And it does look. Yeah, it's very choppy.
And it's just really been ranging between about 413 and 380 for the most part. It's broken below and above a couple of times, but really that's the level it's just kind of been ranging in. And that means there's just really nobody is in control. Somebody will take control for a while, but then another person will come right back in, you know? So yeah. I think that this is going to be... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying SPY's movement looks much more pronounced year to date than the Q's. Q's look a little smoother in there. They're like it's not a staircase, it's more like an escalator. Like, but not a sharp incline, like a low incline escalator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's been helping with that is, you know, Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia with the AI stuff. And I believe Kayla mentioned that Apple has an event in June. They also did well in their last earnings. Earnings have been well. If you think about earnings season last year versus earnings season this year, it's almost like, in my opinion, these companies guided down last year so that this year would not look as bad and so that they would look better on paper this year once their earnings came out. Did that make sense? Like this year is because most of the earnings are good this year.
It makes total sense. And I think that a lot of companies were ready to throw in the towel from last year. I mean, last year was pretty brutal.
It was.
Last year was pretty brutal on stocks, especially popular ones. And then Apple, the tech companies, you know, it was a rough ride. And so I think that might have been the smartest thing to do. Guide down, reset expectations. Mm-hmm. And then come in there and blow it out. And I think that's a tactic too. Because I saw a lot of companies doing it, especially when the pandemic first happened. Every company claimed that they was basically on the brink of destruction. And so they guided, all the guidance was in the toilet for like the whole time. But then some of those businesses we found out were what? Essential. So you have companies like Walmart, Costco, Kroger's, guiding down, CVS, they never closed. McDonald's never closed, not one day through the pandemic.
Right.
Right, guided down, but it was obliterating results. So we saw the effect of work from home, school from home and all that. So I remember when for that period of time, gas was out of whack. The price of gas was negative. And they had tankers just sitting out in the ocean, couldn't do nothing with it. But that was just a matter of time. Because once people started driving again, so we overstand cause and effect. And looking at all of those different economic factors, social factors, that are going on, the government things you mentioned with international effects with China. It's a lot going on domestically, the inflation, Fed continuously rising interest rates. Is there a potential looming recession? It's just so many moving pieces, Lala. It's challenging to make clear decisions. And that's why I pivot back to just thanking you for introducing our audience to the Strat. So at least we have a way to make investment and trading decisions by filtering out all the different noise that is in our face from television, news media, the written media, the social media, and even just word of mouth. Our heads are on a swivel.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have been asking me, Ken, can we get a one-on-one session with you? Absolutely. Not only can you get a one-on-one session, you can even do private group sessions. Give us a call, 313-744-3489. Private stock market workshops, webinars, one-on-one sessions, private group sessions, speaking engagement workshops, whatever you need. We cover savings, banking, investing, real estate, credit, lending, taxes, insurance, and more. Give us a call, Bullish Institute, 313-744-3489. That's 313-744-3489.
Right. And that's what I love about price Strat is, you know, you're focused on that price action. You see what it's doing. You know, I'm aware of what's going on because, I mean, you should always be aware of everything. Well, not everything, your surroundings and, you know, what's going on in the world. I'm aware of it, but I am able to take advantage of what's right here. So, yeah, I mean, it's honestly, I have said it probably more this year than I've probably said it ever. But I really feel like, you know, not only did our company surprising with earnings, but I think that there's a lot of volatility in these charts, and there's a lot of surprises with how price is moving as well. And a lot of it is trying to shake out people who have no strategy or have no plan or are just, you know, maybe got lucky during that bull run, or, you know, with penny stocks or AMC or those. Remember we had that meme stock era. It created a lot of people who made a lot of millionaires actually, or even thousandaires, and they also had no strategies. So in times like this, they're actually losing money because they either don't know how to trade that range, which I speak about, trade the range, or they don't know how to stay out of it when it's choppy. I even heard somebody said they knew that this year was gonna be inside, so they weren't gonna trade this year at all. That's hard for me, it's very admirable. You can stay out the entire year, but hey, that's discipline right there. And they understand the type of conditions that they don't like to trade in. The Strat does kind of teach you also, you look for good moves, strong moves. You like big green and red bars. You don't really like to trade the chop. But some people are scalpers. Some people can trade that. You're only looking for two candles. You know what I mean? So you can be in and out just like that and right, with no problem. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that.
Would say that consolidation usually leads to one of two outcomes when it's ranging. Like, it's either going to be a breakout or a breakdown. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, yes. Yes. That's exactly what we're looking for. And sometimes, you know, you end up having to wait for it. That's one of the biggest things I've learned over my journey is having patience and waiting for that setup. But not to trade the inside bar, instead wait for that breakout. See who really takes control. You know, I like even inside quarters because I look for that quarter, that next quarter. That means that entire quarter are the bulls going to take control, that type of thing, or that week, that month, whatever time frame. But yes, you want to really stay out of that consolidation and wait for a break, and understand the longer the consolidation, the bigger the breakout. That is definitely true. Yeah, nice. So if we do have a completely inside year, we should have a nice breakout year next year now, which
direction, I don't know.
We'd have to see what direction, you know. If we end the year with a hammer, then yes, I'm bullish next year. If we end the year with the shooter, then I'm starting the year bearish. And of course, like I said, it's going to be the whole year. But yeah, that's what you look for.
No, it's solid. No, that's news that we can use. And I definitely encourage all of our listeners to tap into this wisdom that levels with Lala is sharing, because we don't want to just jump out here in these choppy waters of Wall Street, all right, and then wind up being shark food, right? So speaking of which, I know people want to know, they've been asking me, they want to know, Lala, can you tell us, what do you consider to be your best and your worst swing trade?
Oh, my worst, I can definitely tell you, was Square. Ooh, Square, Square, Square. Uh-oh. So Square was before I learned the strat. And I really understood about cutting losers. You know, it's like someone gave me the reference, just like driving around with a bald tire. I'm not sure if it was you. Someone gave me that reference. It's like driving around with the bald tire or a flat tire. You know, like you just, after so long, you got to let it go, you know, and then also understanding having a set stop loss, you know, and letting it go. But I held on to Square for months. I had bought a March contract, and I ended up onto that losing position until January. And I lost like probably 70% of it. And I kept averaging down over those first few months. So I ended up losing probably about 2,000. I cried because I was just like, well, what am I doing wrong? That was actually, I found the strat after that, because I was just like, this is not going to work. Like, I can't do this. I bought myself time. I thought it was going up. You know, I let it work itself out. I averaged down a little bit when I thought it was going up, but I didn't really realize that it was in a downtrend. That was really the start of the bear market. So I wasn't realizing what was going on, and I held on to that thing and I lost so much money. But I was determined not to do that again. And I've never lost that much since then. That was definitely the worst, because after that, I learned how to just cut the loss, you know, pat myself in the chest a couple of times and be like, all right, you know, let's go on for the next one. Cause there's always another trade. So, but I did cry, and I mean, boo hoo.
Cause I believe losing money is no fun.
I'm like, man, well, what am I doing wrong? All these people out here making money and I can't make money. That's another thing. Like, their success isn't your success. You know, you don't know what it took to get there or what their worst trade was to get there. So, you know, that was my worst. But my best is actually two. My best was Jamia. When I had shares, they ended up getting assigned after this. But for about a year, I was selling covered calls on those shares and just averaging down and then selling covered calls. So I made probably about 5K over a year's worth of time with Jamia up until I did it wrong and I ended up, my shares got assigned away from me. And that's okay, because it's so far down now that I was like, I can get back in it at any point. But that was my best trade in terms of like doing, I guess, like that's not really the wheel strategy, because I wasn't selling puts, but you selling covered calls against my shares over a long period of time. And then the other one was AMD. AMD was another one that I just learned last year that I took like probably about 4 or 5 months and learned how to trade it. And so I would swing it on a consistent basis every week, actually. So it wasn't like a long-term swing, but I would play it like Thursday to Monday or Thursday to Friday. And then I would play that every single week. And it was working for a while until it wasn't, and then I stopped. So yeah, those were really my two best swings that I had.
Okay, excellent. And I'm so happy you shared that, because a lot of times people get exposed to all these financial literacy gurus, stock market experts, and people only want to tell you about the good stuff, just post the wins and show you how many times they won a championship, but never have a transparent moment and be honest about, you know, the flip side. So thank you so much for being honest about that and sharing that with our audience. You are just amazing. You are a remarkable guest. I feel like I could just go on and on with you and talk for hours. Unfortunately, I can't. I won't take up all your time, but I love your mind, how you think, and the wealth of experience that you have, and all the jewels you've dropped on our community. So I want to thank you so much for that. And I have just a final question for you before we land the plane, if you would, for me. Can you share with us, with our community, what would you consider your best piece of advice to newbie investors, newbie traders?
The best piece? Take profits. I think that was probably the hardest thing that I had to master, was learning to take profits. So even though I had exit points, I would get greedy. And I think greed is something that everybody can kind of relate to. And I wouldn't take my profits. So even if you have a strategy to how you take your profits so that you can still capture the rest of the move, learn to take your profits, learn to sell. Learn to press that sell button when you hit that target. Why? Because there is always another trade. Always. Always. I have to stress that. And it may still keep going. Oh, I'm missing out. No, you're not. You can just come back and make some more money the next day. So if I had to pick one, because you know I had like 10 over here. If I had to pick one, it's going to be... take your profits. Learn how to not be greedy.
Take your profits. Cash in those chips.
Yes.
Know when to call it a good day at the office is one of the ways I used to say it. And I've worked with you directly. I've reached out to Lala about that in the past. I was trading some options. I think one of the tickers might have been Baba. But sometimes I share with her like, you know, am I being greedy, Lala? Or you see something else in the charts? Is it more levels? Or because... you know, I play in the mud sometimes, and sometimes I go with my gut. I don't encourage no newbie investor or trader to do that, but I've been dealing with Wall Street for over 25 years. So I have a different relationship with it, but I respect it enough to know that I could be wrong, dead wrong. So I've reached out to Lala and say, do you see it? Am I being greedy or not? She said, hey, listen, it's been a good day at the office. It's okay to cash in those chips. And it's nothing wrong with taking a profit. You won. It's that psychological, that greed kick in, because sometimes we start thinking we sweet and like, oh, I won. I just killed them. I'm going to kill them again. Like, instantly? Mm-hmm. How does lightning strike twice in the same spot? You like, take your blessing and run. Like, and you use the phrase in the past, I've heard you say a number of times, but I've always held on to, and that is take what the market gives you.
Yes. It's almost like getting money out of thin air. If you think of, I mean, yes, technically there's another person on the other side of that trade or losing. But if you just made $50, like sitting in your chair, take the money. Even if you missed out on another 50, take the 50 that you got and come back tomorrow and get another 50. It's still money kind of out of thin air.
Yeah, because waiting on that 100, when you hit that 50, instead of taking that 50 and run, you want to be greedy and wait for that 100. But by the time you look up, it'll be 25 again before it hits 75.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting on another $50, you're going to lose half of the, if you're willing to lose half of the 50 that you just won, you're willing to lose half your blessing trying to chase more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes. And I have to add this only because it relates to your class. You're doing a class with Kayla on backtesting and journaling, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That is something that I also did not do, and it's important. And she will teach you why, and I'm sure y'all will go into that. But that is something that's even on my list of tips for beginners traders, like learn to journal, even understanding where you are psychologically. Like if you didn't take your money at that $50 and it ended up to 25, why didn't you write that down? Just review what happened. And that also often makes you better. So yeah, y'all definitely should go to that class because, you know, Kayla is teaching an invaluable skill that a lot of people do not talk about. You hear a lot of people talking about money made and about things like that, but people do not talk about journaling and back testing and going back and looking at how this worked or if it didn't work. Or why it did work. So yeah, that's it.
big facts. No, that's strong right there. That's definitely some news we can use. Man, Lala, you are just an awesome person, an amazing spirit, amazing mother, entrepreneur, financial literacy coach, and so much more. Please continue sharing your gifts with the world. Our community is certainly grateful for your presence and having you as a special guest here on the Bullish Picks podcast. Also want to shout out my main man, Parrish Patton, every podcaster's favorite podcaster, for producing the show. As always, we couldn't do it without him.
Yes, thank you guys so much. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And one more time, Lala, please let the world know, how can they tap in with Levels with Lala? How can they get at you, all your stuff? Please, one more time, give us everything you got.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm on Instagram and Twitter at @my_stockcorner. You can find me on YouTube at Levels with Lala, also on TikTok, Levels with Lala. And you can find me on my website at thegrindreport.com.
All right. And you said get started with learning the strategy. They need to go to your YouTube first or your website first? Where do they get started with their learning path with you?
On YouTube. On YouTube, you have all my videos with the strat, and you can learn, all of that there. And then from there, you can go to the website if you need more, because I do have advanced strat methods if you wanted to learn, if you wanted to step it up a notch. You can learn the strat for free on my YouTube.
I'm happy you mentioned that. If you had any paid courses, some stuff for people who, are serious enough to be serious, to want to take their game to another level. I just wanted to see if you offered those.
Yes, kinds of things. I do. I, if you wanted to learn how to flip a small options account, I do have a course for that. And I do have how to basically use the strat combined with support and resistance. So I know I've taught some support and resistance classes before, but I do use kind of a combination method. So I do have a couple courses on that specific method that I use and some tips that I have. And I'm actually about to upload a couple of new videos. So I do tips and tools and tricks and things like that that I learned. I do post them on YouTube. So definitely follow me there. I have under 500 subscribers. I'm going to do a giveaway as soon as I get to 1,000. So y'all heard it here first. I'm going to do a giveaway at 1K. So y'all go subscribe to my YouTube. Lots of info on there.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Lala. My goodness.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
That's right. Levels with Lala. Don't snooze, ladies and gentlemen. Don't cheat yourself. Treat yourself. Tap in and learn something good. Learn something good. I got pages of notes. I don't know what y'all notepads look like, but mine has been on fire. On fire. I'll be curious to see how this surfing shakes out, Lala. I would love to have you come back maybe in a quarter or so and see how this year did us and maybe see what's on the horizon for 2024.
That sounds good. Either start to the fourth quarter or the end of the fourth quarter. I think that sounds great.
Yeah, definitely love to have you. Yeah. See if we're working on a hammer or a shooter for the year.
Right, right, exactly.
I'm learning. I'm trying to learn.
Taking notes. Yep.
Yes, that's right. Appreciate you, Lila. As always, be blessed. And you are always welcome. Anytime you want to come in and rock the mic, you know how we do right here on the Bullish Picks podcast. Thank you so much again. Until next time.
Bye, everybody.
We out.
That was fun.
Great meals start with Mount Sinai olive oil. Mount Sinai olive oil is first cold pressed with no added preservatives, which gives it a rich and delicious flavor. No matter what's for dinner, Mount Sinai olive oil is here with the delicious pure oil to pair it with. Shop online at mountsinaioliveoil.com.